think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something
rock solid.
Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Odds.
And more.
This
is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Oh, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. And it's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike Sims.
Oh, we are full throttle ahead in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Jolisi, Scott Wetzel kicking it around for the next hour right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Week 14 on the horizon. A lot of news and notes to get to. You heard about the news about safety Jamal Adams, done for the year with a shoulder injury. Seattle is a 7.5-point road favorite against Houston this coming weekend. Keenan Allen put on the COVID list. Scott, his status for Sunday in uncertain right now. You look at LA, they are 10.5-point home favorites over the New York Giants. Mike Glennon, though, Scott, will not get the start. It looks like it'll be former Georgia quarterback and Buffalo Bill Jake Fromm on the road against Justin Herbert and the crew.
Yeah, what's going on, Joe? I am amazed. I tell you, when I saw that news yesterday, I went right to FanDuel and figured, okay, the line's going to be down on the football game because they don't know for sure. And even if they do, I'm guessing it's going to take them a day or so to kind of figure out what they have. And then Jake Fromm, and lo and behold, there it is at 10.5. I know Keenan might not play, as you said, but I don't care. I could put Topeka High in the Charger uniform. I could get them at home laying less than 2 touchdowns against the pathetic Giants to begin with. And now with a quarterback who's never been on an NFL field before? Are you kidding me? I love the Chargers. I can't believe it's only 10.5. I mean, Keenan Allen aside, it's still the Chargers who need to win this game against the pathetic Giants who are already firing their GM. Well, the newspaper articles, the head coach is wondering whether he's going to be around next year. He's telling the world how great they played against the Dolphins. Meanwhile, they stunk out the joint. And I could get going against them laying only 10.5. Oh, love the Chargers, right?
Well, keep this in mind. Obviously, L.A. as a favorite at home has struggled, right? They went toe-to-toe with New England, lost the ball game outright. Then that Sunday night game had a huge 17-point third quarter lead against Big Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. We're down basically by 3 points before they pulled that out by 4 in a last-minute touchdown by Mike Williams. So I can't see New York winning this ballgame with Jake Fromm. We know what Jake Fromm is from following his college career. Yes, did take Georgia to the SEC championship game, could never get them over the hump. He's a benefactor of a strong rushing attack and work off a play action. Thought he would be a top flight draft pick in the NFL draft. Buffalo takes him basically in the fifth round, never pans out as a backup. And now if you're the New York Giants and Joe Judge, you have to search for your quarterback. Obviously, Mike Glennon sucked last week, but let's put it on the play calling as well with Freddie Kitchens, right? You ran out of Jason Garrett out of town, and granted, his play calling was absolutely pathetic, but Freddie Kitchens, you want to play it any closer to the vest, you're going to get the same result with Jake Fromm trying to win a ball game 17-14, not going to work against a red-hot L.A. Charger team.
Yeah, fewest touchdowns in the NFC. Giants, and this is with their regulars, keep in mind. And now you throw a third-string, know-nothing quarterback in there. Like I said, I don't know how they score, you know, more than 10 points. And if you don't think the Chargers are going to put 21 on the board at home, you know, you're kidding yourself, I would think. Giants, Joe, have the second-worst record. I was reading the papers this morning. Giants have the second worst record in the league since 2017. Only one worse or better than the New York Jets. Think about that. Giants and Jets, though. I don't know about 22-54. They're awful. And just think all of a sudden, like I said, they're going to play now. I don't see it play out. Like, it's suspicious to me that it's still on the board, one, without really knowing for sure if Glennon's going to play or not. And then, two, the fact that they would keep it at 10.5 seems awfully weird, but I'm not going to worry about them scaring me away. You want to let me get them against the Giants at 10.5? I'll take it right now.
Well, here's the other question, because you say fishy, right? The fishy thing to me is the total, 44.5. We've talked
that
about
too.
The Giants being a dead under team. And again, 20-9 last week. Total opened up basically at 42.5, 43 when Jones was supposed to start or said he was working towards that. Then when it was Glennon, it dipped all the way down to 39.5. Now you got a third stringer in Jake Fromm. Granted, Justin Herbert in L.A. could put up points, but Giants defense are still good. Are we really looking towards the under in this ball game? I mean, because the total to me actually has me leaning over, and I always do this with the Giants, thinking this is going to be the week that the dam just breaks and they're going to allow 45 points to a team.
Kind of like what the Jets do. You know, that's why Jet games all go over. Not because the Jets are putting points on the board, just because their defense is so bad. So it could happen. Giants offense, fewest offensive touchdowns in the NFL this year, 18. And again, that's with the would-be starters. Now you got a third-string quarterback. I mean, could the Chargers put 35 and win 35-10? And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot, right, to hit a 45, 44.5. But and the Chargers are one team, Joe, that I think will still throw. You know, like some teams will take their foot off the pedal and just kind of run the ball out. I don't think the Chargers will do that. So that's always a risk, but I'll take my chance that the Giants defense hangs up for half or so and they lose like, you know, 27-3, something like that.
L.A., a significant money line favorite at minus 520. You want to take a shot on New York, they're plus 400 on FanDuel. When Scott and I return, we'll break down the weekly specials, talk about some of the biggest matchups in Week 14. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel breaking down the action for week number 14. At the start of the week, we were diving into some of the weekly specials that FanDuel put up, and they do an absolute phenomenal job in terms of getting you prepped. They have some great bets that we went through at the early portion of the week. They did add some others, Scott. Want to get your take on it. Taysom Hill and the New Orleans Saints are 5.5-point favorites on the road in MetLife to take on Zach Wilson and the crew. We saw Gardner Minshew step up with 33 points in that ballgame for Philadelphia. Taysom Hill had a poor performance Thursday night, but did rush for over 80 yards, did toss a 70-yard touchdown pass in that ballgame. For week 14, they have him to rush for a touchdown and throw for a touchdown, 3-1 on FanDuel against the New York Jets. Are you taking that action?
Taysom Hill, throw and run, huh? That's not bad. I wish it was more than 3-1, but I don't know which one would be worse. I was going to say, you know, he's going to run for one. Is he going to throw for one? But then again, you never know. I would put a couple of shekels on that. I like these to be at least 4-5-1, but that's Jet defense is so bad. I can't imagine, Joe, the Saints not putting at least 21 on the board. You got to figure he's going to throw for one. Really, realistically, probably the rushing for the one is the one that you should be most concerned with. But they do like to run the football. They're not explosive, so they're not going to be scoring 40-yard touchdowns. They're going to have it inside the 10-yard line, and that's where he really excels. So, yeah, you know what? 3-1, that's not too bad. It's not, you know, you need two TDs out of the guy, but I would think you'd get that.
Yeah, and here's the other factor that the reason why I like it as well. We know Zach Wilson in the early part of his career is a turnover machine, right? Had an interception last week against the Eagles. We know that New Orleans defense with Davis and the crew are opportunistic, forced Dak Prescott into some mistakes. I think they could do so on the road, which would mean possibly a short field, which would lead to the RPO game inside the red zone. So that's why I think he could get the rushing. Obviously, the passing is always a concern. I mean, when you're throwing it to the other team like he did last week, a week and a half ago against Dallas, I mean, pathetic. I mean, he was absolutely horrible. I mean, there's nothing to say that he's not going to do that against the Jets secondary. They're not elite, but it could be a little wind in MetLife on Sunday. That could always be a concern if you haven't played there from the quarterback perspective. But still, one touchdown, one rush, that should be doable. 3-1, 100 bucks, you get 300 in return.
Yeah, and unless the Jets defense all of a sudden is going to rise up and at 3-9, you know, battling for one of the worst records in the league, I can't see them doing that. You know, when you think about it, they've given up 33. Houston, but we're going to throw Houston out of the equation. 24, 45, 45, 31, 54. I mean, on and on it goes. So they have to be good for at least 21. They don't really have a running game. So, like I said, I agree with you as far as that run. You know, they get into the red zone because they're not scoring on 35 or 40-yard passes. So Right. They're going to have the football inside the 10 where he, you know, does. Yeah, 3-1, it's pretty good. And there's going to be no fans there at all. You know, anyone that's there is going to be booing after the first quarter. So, they don't have to worry about, you know, the only thing is it's outdoors, like you said. I know there's rain in the forecast for Saturday. Not sure about Sunday. It's so far off, but.
Right. Do have the Army-Navy game there on Saturday. We'll be covering it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network College Football Today. So that's another factor. You know, possible Jet Giant fans showing up for Army-Navy. Possibly a better game than you're going to see with New Orleans and the New York Jets in this ball game. So we'll see how that game does play out. If you listen to last week's show, we gave you plus 160. With Jonathan Taylor to rush or receive for over 100 yards and a touchdown, had what, a buck 43 and two on the ground in that 31-0 performance against Houston. You cast it if you listened to the show last week. So there are some potential diamonds in the rough. I'm going to give you another one that I think has a shot, and it's huge value at plus 750, Scott. Monday night's game, we have Matt Stafford in the LA Rams and Kyler Murray in the Cardinals, each to score every quarter. Now, we said that wasn't a possibility for the Bills and New England. Didn't happen on Monday night with that 14-10 game. But with these prolific offenses, you got a shot to at least move the football and both teams to kick a field goal in almost every quarter.
I like the odds, plus 750. I do like that. I tell you, though, Joey, it doesn't happen that often. You know, you'd be surprised. You know, you need both teams, not one out of the two. You need both teams to score every single quarter. You know, Kyler Murray figures to play, right, since he played last week, so that shouldn't be a concern. Matthew Stafford, you know, I don't know what you want to take out of a game against Jacksonville, but he played well, but it is Jacksonville. Plus 750, I'd take a crack at that because I know they got Packers and Bears on there at 6-1. It's interesting, though. Explain this one to me, Lucy. Why are the Packers and Bears 6-1 to score in every quarter, Joe?
No, it's not. But it's the Packers and Bears. It's the Packers
to win
every quarter. Now, I could tell you, I was on the Bears in an in-game perspective last year. It was the last regular season game against Aaron Rodgers. Trubisky started that. They got absolutely abused in that ballgame. So there is the potential with Matt Nagy. They were 7.5-point dogs against Arizona. Four interceptions later by Andy Dalton. Hello. There's a win and a cover by Arizona. This team is pathetic. Yeah. I mean, they're completely one-dimensional. I mean, he's down double digits. He still wants to run David Montgomery. I mean, it's like he's attached to the running game, no matter what the score is. He's up by 15, run the football. He's down by 25, run the football. He just wants to run at every cost.
Yeah, it is amazing. You would have thought, you know, given new life this year, you know, chance one more season that he would change things up a little bit, but he is what he is. He seems as conservative can be, seems hesitant on Justin Fields. I know they had a quote from him this week saying they're not going to take any chances with him and they're going to, you know, be sure, you know, extra cautious with him, which is a good thing. But when you're the coach and you're looking for something to give your team a spark and your career a spark and you're about to be fired. I will tell you, Arizona, L.A., first time they met, they didn't score every quarter, Joe, but they scored in 7 of the 8. Rams didn't score in the third, but it was 10-7 after one. Arizona outscored the Rams 17-3 in the second, 7-3 Rams in the fourth. But Arizona outscored them 10-0 in the third. So, you know, 7-1, 7 after 1, you know, you have a shot, at least the way things played out in the first game. So why not?
Here's another one. It's a goofy one, and this is why I like it. Any 1 p.m. game to go into overtime on Sunday only. So week 14, 1 o'clock action, it's plus 150 if any game goes to OT. So let me go down the list for the 1 o'clock action. Las Vegas, KC, New Orleans Jets, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Baltimore, Falcons, Carolina, Dallas, and the Washington football team, Seattle, Houston.
All right, I counted four there that, you know, you have a fighting chance. Three of them, I don't. Yeah. Dallas, Washington was one.
Atlanta,
Carolina was another. Saints, Jets was another.
Baltimore, then, Cleveland.
Baltimore, Cleveland. Yeah. I don't think you'd have overtime in Seattle, Houston. They're so bad. I don't think you'll have overtime in the Chiefs, Raiders. Raiders are so bad. But you got a fighting chance in all those. You know, like the first. Literally, if you go back, I think it was the first 5 weeks, Joe, there were overtime games. I mean, the overtime games were in abundance for some goofy reason at the beginning of the year. But it slowed off. It's been a while since we've had one, unless I'm forgetting one, over the last 3-4 weeks. Plus 150? Nah. You know, you got four shots. Nah, you know, yeah, it doesn't happen that often. So, I mean, when you think about it, out of all the games that have been played this year, what are there, like maybe 7-8 tops? I don't even think 7 games maybe that have gone to overtime. Now I'm realistically only getting 8 on Sunday, and I'm only getting $150 on that when it only happens like once out of every 25 games.
Yeah, not rich for Scotty's blood. Not rich enough for Scotty's blood. I will say this, though. When we come back, we'll be breaking down Kansas City, Las Vegas. The spread is now 9.5 in favor of Patrick Mahomes and the crew. I think this game has the potential to be one of those overtime games. When we come back, we'll break down Derek Carr and the Raiders. Kansas City coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation of week number 14, we left off talking about the great weekly specials on FanDuel. We'll get back to those. One of the specials had any 1 p.m. game to go into overtime this coming Sunday. It was plus 150. Scott and I went through. We figured there was about 4 games that could potentially get in there, but I believe there's one game that will be a lot closer than people think, at least from the spread perspective. You look at Kansas City right now. They're on a 5-game win streak. They're on a heater right now. Scott, hitting on all cylinders, especially after that Monday night performance Sunday against the Denver Broncos, laying 8.5. They win that ball game by 13 points. This line opened up at the start of the week at 8.5. The game is in Arrowhead, minus 108 on FanDuel. Now money coming in on Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's up to 9.5. If you want to take a shot on the Raiders, their minus 112 total is at 48, minus 110. 2 weeks ago, they got absolutely abused in Las Vegas. the Raiders did with Derek Carr. It was close for a quarter. Then all of a sudden, DeSean Jackson, he dropped a potential touchdown, really changed the momentum. They get blown out. I think it's going to be a different animal here. On the road, plus 9.5, the Raiders have shown they could be a good road team, got a victory over Pittsburgh and Dallas. Those are just two key wins on the road. 9.5 points, I'm going to take my shot with the Raiders in this ballgame.
I can't put any faith in the Raiders. I understand it's a rivalry, and they do play tough, and did they not win in Kansas City last year?
Right.
Well, I think people are starting to re-jump on the KC bandwagon as the Ravens lose and the Bills lose and the Browns continue to lose and all of a sudden, you know, Tennessee's lose and all of a sudden you're like, well, who's left? And it's like, the Chiefs are left. That's right. I expect that line to go up. It may go over 10, but you know, the Raiders are a weird team. You're right. I mean, I still can't figure out that win over Dallas on Thanksgiving Day, but then they went back to being the Raiders. I mean, they're taking on a Washington team that's on a short week that had to fly 3,000 miles. You played meaning the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day, so you had three extra days to prepare. One of the better players for Washington, McKissick, didn't play, and Thomas gets hurt, and you still can't beat the Washington. So they may win, Joe. They might, but not with my money on it. They won't.
Well, think about this. I said Pittsburgh and Dallas. Let's not forget the week that John Gruden was fired. They were 5-point dogs against Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater, and won that ball game 34-24 as well. So could they just be a better road team than they are a home team? That is possible. Some teams love going on the road. Now, they lost to the pitiful New York Giants. Can you imagine that if they would have had that game back?
Yeah.
They lost that 23-16. If they would have gotten that victory, I mean, they could have been over the hump. They're 6-6 right now. They have a key head-to-head against the division leader, Kansas City, that's 8-4. You got to figure rivalry, divisional game, title on the line. All right, maybe they don't win, but they could cover the 9.5, no?
When you think about who the Raiders have lost to, right? They lost to the Giants, who are awful. They lost to the Bears, who are pathetic. I mean, it's like, wow, you got two. Now listen, you're not going to win every one of these games. I get that. But, you know, you got two teams that might not get six wins all season. And you lost to both, you know, even won the Bears at home, for goodness sakes. So, no. And yet then they've beaten Baltimore, they've beaten Pittsburgh, they've beaten my beloved Dolphins and your Dolphins, then they beat Dallas. They're a heckle and Jekyll, so who knows what you're going to get out of them. If I'm going to flip a coin, I'll flip it on Kansas City this week, not
all right.
The Raiders.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll go back to a game that we talked about yesterday, but we'll talk about it in a different way in terms of a weekly special, because they just put this one up, Jamar Chase and George Kittle, to complete a 50-yard reception, 2.5-1 on FanDuel. So both teams square off. It's a rematch of that Super Bowl. Remember Joe Montana, Kenny Anderson, back in the day?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jamar Chase, he dropped. I don't know if you saw the game against the Chargers, but he was wide open early in the second quarter. Burrow hits him in stride. He bobbles it. And then L.A. did intercept that ball. Otherwise, he was off to the races. And we're talking about George Kittle. That is coming off a 181-yard performance with two touchdowns. However, it is not just total yards and a touchdown. It's a 50-plus yard reception.
Yeah. He's not getting that. His longest on the season is 48. So, you know, if he's had nine games to get 50 yards and he hasn't, what makes you think that this game is going to be any different? So I would shy away. He didn't get a 50-yarder at all last year either, Joe. So now he's gone two seasons without a 50-yarder.
It's either one or the other. One or the other, Scott. So you got a choice. I thought it was it's one or the other. But still, so basically we're just banking on Chase at plus 250.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. So plus 250 yards. I mean, that's a possibility. I might take that flyer. If the weather is okay, I mean, I would definitely check the weather because they're not going to be throwing footballs in 25-mile-an-hour winds deep anyway. But, you know, he's got the capabilities of taking a 15-yard pass and going the distance. So but don't count on Kittle. That's not happening out of him unless something crazy.
Right, so you're basically taking 250. Chase. On yeah. Jamar Chase. So it's still not bad odds if you think about it. I mean, like I said, if you watch that game, he was streaking down the right sideline.
And they go wide to him open. A lot. Yeah, they do throw to him a lot. So you're going to get a fighting chance out of that one with Chase.
And think about this. If Russell Wilson and that offense tacked a 30 spot on San Francisco, you got to feel that Joe Burrow and that offense feel pretty confident that they could attack that secondary. So maybe it is Chase early and often, you know, and maybe he takes a 25-yard reception and turns it to the house. It's always possible. Did so against the Baltimore Ravens on the road. So you can never say never when you have a lethal offense that's going to chuck it 50 times a game. You know, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, if you're San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo, you're coming off a loss, I would probably expect Shanahan on the road, right, to utilize the running game. Let's not get into a shootout. We lost that game last week. Let's try and get back on track. He's another one that, God forbid, he should throw two games in a row.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I wonder why FanDuel feels compelled to keep these specials in the same game. Like, you know, I'm thinking, why George Kittle? Then you realize, okay, they're playing San Fran. So why can't they do Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, pick another wide receiver from another team? You know, why are they?
Because it's a matchup. Because it's a particular matchup. Obviously, they have their numbers set in terms of a specific algorithm, let's say, and you know how they tack on the spreads and the sides, right? So they feel, okay, the total set on the game is, let's say, 48. We base that off of yards per play, and that's why we're going to offer Kittle based off of, you know, how much the defense is giving up, yards per pass versus. So it's all an algorithm. That's how they come up with it.
Right. But why don't they flip the games, though? Why do they keep both guys in the same game? There's got to be an
algorithm.
Because
then they're exposed. Then they're exposed to a particular, obviously two outcomes as opposed to one, right?
Right.
And that's why they have their numbers based off of, like, if the books feel that this game, and let me get an updated odd, it's 48.5 on FanDuel, minus 114 to the over, minus 106 to the under. They have Cincinnati instilled as a 1-point home favorite, minus 112 on the money line. They feel right now, okay, we're setting it at 48.5, right? And I guarantee you it's juiced to the over because they know they're going to get over money. Look at the output last week, 63 points for L.A. and Cincinnati. I wound up taking that in-game total. Last week, 62.5. I thought it was a loser. I went for lunch. I came back. They got the garbage touchdown at the end to go over that in-game total. And then you look at 53 points for Seattle and San Francisco. That total was set at 45.5 to start the week. Before kickoff, that was 44.5. So money came in on the under, right? Now you're going to have probably a reversal seeing last week's outcome. They know that they can entice people to, all right, we'll take the over, or maybe we'll play it this way and they can get more money in terms of this matchup as opposed to just sides.
Right. All right. I guess so. It's got to be to their advantage. That's for sure. That's the bottom line. We all know that, right? They're not going to give us anything that's not the.
No, they're not going to give us any gimmies, right? Although we thought we had it with Taylor was the easy one last week. We couldn't believe 8 of 9 times, right? So they gave us a gimme, but then they pulled the rug out of our under our feet there with the others. All right, how about this one? The other one that is enticing, Detroit and Denver here. Okay, this game is enticing to me because you have Detroit now. As much as you want to bash them, they're playing good football. From the gambling perspective.
Wow. From the gambling perspective.
Well, that's all we care about, right? Isn't
that's
it, Scott?
True.
It's
that's
not,
true. Yes.
Right?
True.
I mean, went toe-to-toe with Pittsburgh, didn't get the win, but they get the cover. They cover as a 10.5. Actually, it opened at 10.5, went up to 13.5 against Baker. They lose that ball game by 3. Right, and Thanksgiving they cover, and then they get the outright winning cover last week. Now you have Vic Fangio that can't coach his way out of high school. He should be coaching Pop Warner. I think a set of 5-year-olds are good for Vic Fangio to coach them up because that's the way he wants to play football. You could run Javonte Williams between the 30s, but when push comes to shove, you actually have to score points. They're laying 8 at home to Detroit. And Jared Goff, I'll take the 8 in this ballgame.
10-6. Lions 10-6 against the spread their last 16 games. That's got to be one of the best records in the NFL, as goofy as that sounds. So, yeah, I guess give it a Lions in the points as well.
Total set at 42 on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. When Scott and I come back, we're going to dive into the division battle in Washington, Cowboys and Taylor Heineke.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the breakdown in Denver this Sunday between the Broncos and Lions. Broncos are an 8-point favorite at home against Dan Campbell and the Jared Goff, getting that monumental win at home as a 7.5-point underdog against Zimmer and the crew this weekend. I got to be honest, Scott, I was looking at the totals in terms of the weekly for a highest scoring game, right? Dead last on the list, Detroit and Denver, 16-1. I love it. You got a hot team in Detroit. You got a team that only put up 9 points on the road in Kansas City. They're calling for Vic Fangio's head in Denver. I think both offenses can move the football. Might be a little cold. Detroit is a dome team. Maybe chunk plays. Give me a shot at 16-1.
Denver is 10-2 under this year. Lions are 8-2 under their last 10, and you want to go over.
I do. They're putting up a 29 spot against Minnesota last week. Now they're playing with house money.
I'll tell you this. I will give you credit for your hint on the Chargers and Giants game going over. But I can't buy into Denver-Detroit. But here's why the Charger-Giant one may be in play, even though the Giants will be going with a Topeka high quarterback. Because highest scoring game, as we're talking here, you know the Chargers and Giants are the fifth highest choice?
Yeah.
It's,
I know.
Like, 950. What? Yeah. And then if you go down the highest scoring team, that explains it, because they have the Chargers as the third highest choice at 10-1, behind only Tampa Bay and Kansas City. So they clearly think the Chargers are putting 30 to 40 points on the board, which would lead this game to go over. So as much as that 44.5 is a knee-jerk under when you got Jake Fromm probably playing quarterback for the Giants, they're begging you to take the under. That's got over, right, you know what, written all over it. Like,
all right.
Chargers in the over. So I'll give you that one, but I can't buy it. I got two teams. You know, maybe it goes over, but again, a 10-2, at Denver, I don't see it. And, you know, if it was in Detroit, you know, maybe better conditions. But Denver in December, and you think it's going to go over? Nah.
Yeah, I do. That's why. Because I remember this game a couple of years ago, okay? I forget what game it was. But the Dome team, yeah, they put up a lot of points. They got Fant involved. I think it might have been against Houston. Drew Lock had a huge day in the Dome. So when you have a dome team that goes on the road into a cold weather environment, it just looks like, Denver should roll here. But you have a team in Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions that put up 290 passing yards against the Minnesota Vikings, right? We talked about it on Thanksgiving, is that they moved the football early against Chicago, never went back to the passing attack. They finally opened it up throughout the game against Minnesota. Maybe they got something cooking here, and you saw Pat Mahomes move the football through the air against Denver's defense. I mean, this team could be cooked as well, and at the end of the day, we think Denver can score. I mean, Detroit's defense isn't elite. You can't see Detroit breaking out for 24 in this ballgame. Maybe it gets into the high 20s, high 30s. Maybe it's 35-31 Denver.
I'll eat my hat if it's 35-31 Denver. I'll give you one. You want one that could be a higher scoring game? At 16-1, same category, Baltimore and Cleveland. Mm. I can see that being high. That Ravens defense is not very good. Browns have done a pretty good job over the year. I know the first game was low scoring, but that they were all banged up. They're a little bit more healthier now is Cleveland. Cleveland's coming off a bye. I could see that one being a high-scoring game if the Browns get that running game going like they should be able to do against Baltimore. Lamar's got to be all upset the way he's played over the last couple of weeks. You know, he throws four picks in a game that they win, then they lose last time out. I mean, he's going to be all fired up. I could see that one maybe being a high scoring if you want some decent odds.
All right, how about this one? Matt Rhule just fired Joe Brady, the boy wonder, right? The LSU genius. Right? Can't get the most out of that offense. Struggle with Sam Darnold. Can't take Cam Newton to the promised land. P.J. Walker, what is he? Do we know what P.J. He thinks he's playing for the Houston Roughnecks, right?
I mean, come on. Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's 17-1 for Carolina, highest scoring team. But highest scoring game, I think they're in the area of about 12-1, if I'm not mistaken.
And what, by the way, what does that tell you about Cam Newton, right? I mean, he signs, he plays a game, two games, and they fire the offensive coordinator. I mean, did these two have a fight? Did they get into a brawl? Does one guy hate the other? There's got to be a lot more to that story than meets the eye, Joe. You don't, you know, bring in a guy like Cam, give him $10 million, which was moronic to begin with, and then all of a sudden you fire the offensive coordinator 2 weeks literally later. It's like, you know, something's not right in Carolina. I would stay away from that football team. Whether it's Rhule and maybe some rumors of him going back to college, or you know, with everyone being hurt there, that is an absolute fade team. I wouldn't put any money on them.
Well, I read where Brady might be on the move to Oklahoma with Brett Venables. We have to keep an eye out for that story as it develops. But I was off slightly, 13-1 as opposed to 12-1. But I mean, I was impressed with Atlanta's offense against Tampa Bay. They moved the football. I mean, they should have had well within the 20s. They were down on the 2 yard line with about 10 seconds left. He threw a pass incomplete in the end zone. The kid had it in his hands and dropped it. Would have given Atlanta the cover at least against Tom Brady in that ball game. Highest scoring team you mentioned. I mean, they have the Cowboys at 12-1, which is odd. When you think about the game between Washington's defense holding opposing offenses in back-to-back weeks, L.A. and Las Vegas and Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, a total of 30 points. Now Dak and Dallas come to town on the road. It's going to be cold maybe. 12-1, fourth best spot behind Los Angeles, the Chargers. I said San Diego. I'm thinking circa 1984, but that's besides the point.
Yeah. How about Seattle at 16-1? Now, I know their offense has been god-awful. I get that. But, you know, they had a little something going last week. They put up 30-plus against San Fran. They do lose Jamal Adams, but I still think somewhere along the line they think this team can make a run. They got the Houston Texans this week. You know, it would be just like Pete Carroll, who we last seen, you know, crying in press conferences, basically, literally, you know, about how he hates losing and he can't take it anymore. I could see them putting up 50 against Houston and not calling off the dogs and just really beating the snot out of them. After them struggling as long as they have for a month plus, Joe, maybe they got things corrected just a little bit last week. And, now they got a patsy in front of them on the road. Fans will be booing there. They'll love that. Maybe play a little hunch. Maybe they beat the crap out of Houston leading up to that Rams game the following week just because they just want to show them that the world that we're back.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that DK Metcalf, I believe, only had like 53 receiving yards in that ball game, no touchdown. It was Eskridge, the former Western Michigan receiver, and Tyler Lockett had a touchdown as well. Maybe if his numbers, let's say 65, maybe 68 in that area, you take over for DK Metcalf. They don't have totals posted just yet, but maybe this is a multiple touchdown, two touchdown plus performance for DK. Multiple touchdowns that he caught was against, I believe, Jacksonville in that dominance 37-7 about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah. They've given up at the Texans 30 or more points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times already, including 31-0 last week. I don't know how in the world they beat the Titans, but 16-1 just to play a little hunch. Like I said, I could see Pete Carroll really just saying, let's put 40 plus on the board today. Let's do it, guy. Let's make DK happy. We'll make Lockett happy. We'll make Russell happy. Well, let's just keep on pounding away. I could see that. He's not the type to hold off the dogs up 30 to nothing.
Yeah, like let's just beat them into oblivion. Now, I will say that Houston has played a little bit better at home than the road, even though they got the road win against Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill is a 10.5-point dog. Remember, they went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots not too long ago in October, right? Pushed them to the limit. I mean, New England needed a fourth-quarter comeback just to win that ballgame. So, I mean, they are a good team at home.
That was a long time ago, though. They lost 31-0 to the Colts last week, and they lost to the Jets at home 2 weeks ago. I think, you know, whatever they were able to do earlier on that's to me long gone. They're talking. They asked the GM this week. I don't know if you saw this, Casario, about the David Culley, the head coach. Is he going to be back next year? Year number two, right? And you would think, what are you kidding?
Right.
Year number one. Of course he would, right?
Right.
The GM Nick says, we'll deal with that at the end of the season. We want to discuss that right now.
Unbelievable.
You're talking about dead man walking.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's coaches fired system. You know, half a coach's fired system in play, but clearly he made it seem like Culley is not welcome back next season. So,
well, let's concentrate with Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy in this battle in Washington this weekend, because I want to take it a little bit deeper. Dallas is a 4-point road favorite in this ballgame. We know that they're up on Washington heading into this ballgame in the division, got a much needed win over New Orleans on Thursday night. But when you look at this now on FanDuel, right, -700 to win the division, and Washington at +700. So more value in taking Washington on the money line or taking the +700 to win the NFC East? I mean, they get this victory. They're not looking bad.
Yeah, I mean, the money line for the game is only +160. So 7-1. And, you know, more and more pressure builds as every week goes by on Dallas, right? You know, so another loss would really get them like, uh-oh, what's going on? You know, here comes the fade and everything. I would do both. I think Washington can win this weekend. We said it yesterday. I'm surprised they're a 4-point dog at home. I really am. You know, but you want to make a pick 'em, okay? But a 4-point underdog, really, to Dallas, the way the Cowboys are playing and the way Washington's playing, winning four in a row, straight up and against the spread, I'll take that. But I would take 7-1. I'd put a couple of shekels on that. You know, they all kind of play each other. No one has a better schedule than the other. You know, the Eagles are in play, the Giants, you know, they're all playing each other to close out. And the NFL did a good job as far as letting them all sign up for who plays each other at the end of the month. The only difference is Dallas has the game against Arizona, which is on the worst side of things for Washington versus Washington.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not bad, 7-1. Not bad at all.
They have a weekly special with both running backs, Antonio Gibson and Zeke, to combine for 150-plus rushing. Now, obviously, Tony Pollard's a big, big piece of that puzzle because he's the home run hitter. Zeke is toast. I mean, he's not the same running back. You said it. That explosiveness is not there. He's utilized more in goal line situations because he is the bigger back. But 150-plus, now is McKissick going to be healthy? You got to think of that. Gibson does get a majority of the carries, +220 on FanDuel.
The odds aren't bad, but I'll give you Zeke's numbers. 45 yards last game, 25 the game before that in overtime, no less. 32 before that, 41, 51, 50, 69. You got to go all the way back to a Giant game in early October where he hit 110 yards. I mean, you're lucky to get 50. So you're going to get 100 on the other side. That 100 plus, realistically.
Yeah.
I take my shot at it because it's nice odds, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I would have liked it if it was Gibson and Pollard. I really like Pollard and how they utilize him in the offense. When Scott and I come back, we'll wrap it up with another weekly special. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
We're going about the weekly specials, the Week 14 breakdowns, and we're going to talk about the lowest scoring game potentially for Sunday. And I'm one that I'm locked and loaded in that takes place in Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers, Andy Dalton, dead under with Matt Nagy, 10-1. Scott, the team's played to a 24-14 win for the Green Bay Packers. They did cover the 6-point number on the road in Soldier Field. I don't see things changing in Lambeau on Sunday. Give me 10-1, lowest scoring game for this weekend.
That's not bad. You know, Green Bay's been a lower scoring team this year, so I could see that. That's not the worst thing in the world. That Bears offense is just atrocious, right? So that's a possibility. The one I would look at, is Atlanta and Carolina at 8.5-1. I know you think the Falcons can score. I get that, but the Panthers are atrocious. They don't know if they're coming or going. Cam, you know, the offensive coordinator being fired. I could see that one, you know, division game as well being low scoring. It's only 8.5-1, but that's still, you know, halfway decent value. I like that one, to tell you the truth.
Let me ask you this. Any shot Bills in Tampa Bay could go under as the lowest scoring total, 17-1 after that performance? Does Tampa Bay just run it 90 times in this ballgame?
You would think, right, if they did any kind of research. But Tampa Bay scored 30 or more points. I think it's 8 straight home games now. So I doubt that Buffalo's defense is going to stop that. Or if they do, they'll limit it, but not 9 straight home games. 30 or more points for Tampa Bay, so I'd stay away from that one.
Yeah, I mean, the other one that I think would step up is Saints and Jets. Because obviously Taysom Hill sucks. Zach Wilson sucks. Could be, if there's wind, rain, possibly a MetLife, dead under 750 on FanDuel. That's not bad.
That's not bad, but you're counting on the Jets defense. Gun to my head right now, Carolina, Atlanta, 8.5-1 is not bad. And that 10-1 Packers, Bears is pretty good too.
All right, for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be here tomorrow breaking down the action. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.